Okay, my name is Deanna Calvin. I am 49 years young. Today is November the 30th, 2021. I'm in Fresno at Woodward Park Library. My interview partner's name is Carol, and we just recently met today.
And my name is Carol Giovacchini. I'm 68. Today's date is November 30th, 2021. I'm here in Fresno with Deanna, my interview partner, and we met through One Small Step.
Okay, so first question, what made you want to do, Carol, what made you want to do this interview today?
I thought it was the most wonderful idea I'd heard in a long time. I love people, I love talking to people, I love hearing their stories, and more than anything, I want people to see each other as human beings rather than opponents or the other side. And so I thought, what a great idea. I want to participate. Okay. And what made you want to do this interview?
I listened to in KVPR NPR, and I heard the opportunity, and I thought it was a great idea as well. One of the things I'm working with spiritually is to recognize that againstness doesn't work spiritually, and it doesn't connect, and it just doesn't work for the universe. And so I thought that this would be an opportunity for me to be able to relate and to hear a perspective of something that normally or sometimes I have been, I tend to separate, and I want to erase that. So I thought this would be a good opportunity to be able to relate and to hear someone and to connect. Okay, so I'm going to read your bio. This is Carol's bio. I was born and raised in the Valley and am a second generation American. I'm a retired speech-language therapist, widowed with three grown children and two grandchildren. My career allowed me to meet people from all walks of life, which I appreciated immensely. Without that experience, I feel that I would not have acquired as much tolerance and empathy for others. I am increasingly concerned about democracy, the environment, and the world we are leaving our children and their children. Do I answer a question?
I have a follow-up question.
Okay. Okay, so no, I don't.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm paused. Well, from this.
Well, we can come
yeah,
back.
Let's come back to it because it was actually it's very telling, you know. And so I guess we could talk about. You said you were concerned with democracy. Mm-hmm. What is your concern? What is your concern with democracy?
Well, I know Sonia thought she was getting a conservative person, Deanna, but I have morphed into a far more liberal person over the past few years. Anytime I hear people talk about the steal and the election being a sham, and I hear about January 6th, it just really, really bothers me that people are so willing to listen to someone lie and just believe it.
Wow. Okay.
And so, it's like, what do you do to counteract that? Why don't people have more courage? What I've heard is that a lot of people in Congress know that it's not true, but they're afraid to say anything for fear of losing votes. That concerns me. Mm-hmm. That concerns me a lot.
Okay. That's very, do I comment? Do I?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's very interesting to me because I have the same feeling when I hear that, any of that conversation about stop the steal and the horrendous event that took place on January 6th.
Right.
And in listening to some of my conservative friends as well as conservative people, I think, but you know that's not true. What is, you know, and why is that the choice? The choice is to not acknowledge that untruth, you know, that, so hearing someone I don't know how conservative you are, but to hearing other people say that, it's like, okay, so I'm not by myself,
or no.
It's,
no.
You know,
no.
It's.
I'm going to read your biography, Deanna. I'm a 40-year-old African-American trans woman who also happens to be a recovering addict, 3.5 years clean. I began my transition over 20 years ago, and I'm very comfortable in my identity and how I navigate the universe. During active addiction, I gave away everything, jobs, relationships, car, home, etc. Getting clean, I've been able to reestablish myself as a productive member of society and recognize that everyone deserves a second chance. Deanna, this has been a real journey for you.
Yes, it has been. It has been.
Are you feeling better about yourself than you ever have at any other point in your life? It sounds like that.
Yes, and to be honest with you, and I know this will sound strange, but I sometimes feel, because of my relationship, my spiritual relationship, before my active addiction, I was always asking and praying to my higher power to enlighten me. I was asking for enlightenment. That was a part of my, you know, to be authentic, to be this, to be that, mm-hmm. but also for enlightenment. And I went through active addiction and was an addict and had some, and lost, like I gave everything away. I don't like to say I lost it because it was a choice to me. I now look at my addiction because it has broken me open, and it has really, I have a much stronger relationship with all the things in my life, all the things in existence, as well as my higher power. Sometimes I wonder if that was the enlightenment that showed up for me, and it just showed up in a way I didn't know. So yes, I'm very, to answer your question, it has been a journey, but I'm in a much better place than I have ever been in my life, and I have a deeper appreciation for all of the things in life.
Is every day a gift to you?
Every day is a gift.
Yeah.
And I get it.
Yes.
I get it.
You know, yes.
I get it.
That's great.
Tell me about one or two people in your life who have had the biggest influence on you.
Wow. You know, I've thought about that. And, of course, you think about your family immediately.
Right.
But I have to say the entire clan. I mean, I have my mom and my dad and my brother, but I had six aunts and uncles and cousins galore. And it was a very tight ethnic family. I think all of them, in their way, influenced me to various degrees. It's not like I can say, oh, this one person. It was the group. It was the absolute group. And having that common background and having the common customs and getting together during the year at various holidays and the groaning table and being told you're too thin or whatever, you got to eat more, you know, all mm-hmm. the stuff that families do when you get together. I mean, it's the whole thing. I can't pick just one person. And then you look at me getting married, being an adult, and my husband, you know, and he came from something similar. Mm-hmm. So we had that in common. And, of course, he had a profound influence on me because he was my life partner.
And
we had kids together. So it's kind of a roundabout question. Can you tell me about just one or two people that have had the biggest influence on you?
You know, it's so interesting to hear because I have a very big family as well. My grandmother had, I'm sorry about that. Let me turn that off. My grandmother had 11 siblings. My mom had 6. So I have 16 cousins. And four uncles, two aunts, and I have a huge family that influences me. But I have to say, I will choose one person, and that is my grandmother. My grandmother kind of raised me. My mom was, I was always with my mother, but my grandmother babysat me as a kid, and I was the oldest. I'm the oldest grandchildren out of the 16. And so I had the opportunity of, and I didn't know it at the time, but she was this very spiritually centered person who believed in nature and good and the kindness. And she was this beautiful, very physically beautiful. She was a pianist, but also very, just very wise in her way. And I wouldn't have known that her influence until I only recently recognized it. And that is when I find myself meditating or joining meditation groups or hiking or these things, or gardening and these things. My grandmother taught me these things that I just know. And, you know, going to a farmer's market with a group of friends that I, you know, that I met recently at a gym. And they were like, well, what do you pick? And I was like, you picked this fruit and this is this. And this. And I'm like, I did. And they're like, how do you know that? And I had to stop and think, that was a gift from my grandmother. Mm-hmm. My grandmother taught me those things. She taught me to be still, to be silent. As a child, she'd say, just sit in silence and let God speak to you. And, of course, I didn't like that at the time, but I understand it now. So my grandmother was a very big influence. Other than that, I would take outside of my family, and that would be Oprah Winfrey. I think because I, honestly, and I know that's so funny, and it's an easy choice, but I learned from her that there was more to what I saw and what was around me. That there, you know, that I could actually think bigger, live bigger, go deeper, and figure things out. That the world was mine, and I could do whatever I wanted to. So, interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, it's my turn. Could you briefly describe, in your own words, your personal political values?
Oh my Lord. Well, they have been evolving quite a bit over the past 10 years, easily. It was interesting. I mean, when I first registered to vote, I was an independent.
Okay.
And then I think I switched to Republican after about 5 or 6 years. My family was, my husband was, and I go, yeah, whatever. And now I was telling Sonia I really want to go back to my independent roots. However, how can I vote against Donald Trump and people of his ilk if I'm not in the party? I've got to stay in and subvert it from within. Mm-hmm. Am I conservative anymore? I don't know. When I first heard him come on the scene and we're talking about Donald Trump, I said, that's a flim-flam man.
Right.
No one's going to elect him. He's a joke. And then he got the nomination. And I said, but he's a flim-flam man. No one's going to vote for him. He's a joke. And he won. Mm-hmm. And no one was more stunned than I was. Mm. So that kind of woke me up, and I haven't seen anything since to change my mind about him.
Right, right.
So I think I'm more moderate than conservative, and I've become more liberal in a lot of things. I don't know what I am. I'm changing. Okay. I guess that's the best way of saying it. Okay. I'm changing.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Do you think, and you mentioned that you were that your husband and your family were Republican,
yes,
conservative, and you said that you were widowed, so your husband recently,
yes,
passed away. So do you think that gave you space to form your own and to choose your own way as compared to the influence that you have with someone who is your partner?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think?
Yeah. I was heading in that direction anyway, but I do think you're right, Deanna. Mm-hmm. I think when something really life-changing like that happens to you, you break down or you break open, as you say.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
And it's very liberating to have something horrible happen to you and to come through it. And I would tell my friends at work who are worried about the Joint Commission or whatever, I'd say, do you think this scares me after what I've been through? You really think mm-hmm. that I'm afraid of this? I'm not. You know, what can you do to me that hasn't already been done, you know, other than take my children from me, mm-hmm. which would be even worse. So, yes, it frees you up. I don't answer to anyone but myself. It's almost a selfish kind of life, to mm-hmm. be honest, because, I mean, I eat what I want. I go where I want, when I want. I say what I want. I mean, I try to be kind, but I am more me, I guess you could say, now.
Okay.
And I was heading that way anyway, but I think my husband's death kind of gave me a little turbocharge there.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense,
yeah.
Yes.
And what about your personal political values, Deanna? Tell me.
I think that I'd like to say, well, I registered as my first time registering years ago, I registered as Democrat, and my family's Democratic. But as I have matured, I've become much more independent mm-hmm. because I can't say a party represents me completely. It just doesn't happen. It's not right. Because there's some things I see that are I have rather conservative views on certain things, mm-hmm. and then on other things, I don't. And I'm very, very liberal. So I think that I would definitely identify as a liberal. I'm a mm-hmm. very liberal person. I believe that everyone should be entitled to everything, mm-hmm. The same that, and that people are people, that love is love, mm-hmm. that there are no borders, you know, when it comes to human beings, mm-hmm. and that, so yes, to answer your question, my political views are very, very liberal.
Yeah. And it's complicated.
It is complicated about, and sometimes I think it's not. Like, there are certain, you know, when it comes to, say, for instance, we'll use the coronavirus and, mm-hmm. and all of that. I don't understand how that became a political issue when, you know, some say, you're taking my right by making me wear a mask. And I ask the question, but if the person whose grandparent died from the virus, if you could bring them back for that person, no matter who they were, by wearing a mask, would you do that? You know, I ask, those are the kind of questions I want. And I'm like, why are people asking those questions? You know, so it's that's not complicated to me.
No.
You know,
that doesn't seem complicated. No.
But then there are other things that are, you know,
yes.
that are definitely, absolutely.
I agree.
Could you talk a bit about, could you ask Deanna to talk a bit about what those complicated things?
Oh, so what's complicated to you?
So the political complications come down to, maybe it's not complicated to me at all. I do believe that there are certain things that aren't complicated. Like, say, for instance, I use that example of the coronavirus, or about people loving who they want to and who they choose and marrying who they choose to. There's no complication with that. People choosing how they identify mm-hmm. and how and what their identities are and how... Why is that a complicated thing? That is a person who is who they are, and mm-hmm. how things that are, things seem to be so politicized, and I think that they don't need to be. It's about it's about human rights, and it's not about, you know, and it's about everyone having the right mm-hmm. to human rights, mm-hmm. not certain people.
Right.
But that in itself can be complicated for some, because I think that there is there are people who think might and, you know, power means that I have more of a human right mm-hmm. than those people who don't have the might, the power, the money. And that's just, I don't believe that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that
mm-hmm.
to be true.
And, Carol mentioned earlier that there's something she's become more liberal on. Mm-hmm. Could you ask a bit about what those are?
Yes, you mentioned earlier that mm-hmm. There are some things that your views have shifted, and that you are kind of more moderate as mm-hmm. compared to conservative before,
right.
And that you're more liberal now. What are mm-hmm. some of those things?
Well, just in terms of treating people like human beings. I mean, what you were talking about, when I hear people, Republicans, saying there's a crisis at the border and we got to keep these people out, I'm thinking, you haven't walked a mile in their shoes. You have no idea what it's like to flee for your life. And what would you do under the same circumstances? You know, I'm more willing to see someone else's side of it and sympathize and empathize with them. And again, I think it comes back to having worked in a hospital that served people from all walks of life mm-hmm. and having, you know, getting to know them and seeing what their lives were like. My gosh, it was such an eye-opener. Otherwise, I would have been in my little middle-class white world forever if I hadn't done that. And I think that was really, really good for me. And, of course, it changes you, but it changed me for the better because I was able to get off my high horse, so to speak, and say, yeah, you've had it pretty easy. You have no idea what hardship is. You know, the problems you have are not third world problems. These are just minor annoyances compared to some of these folks that you've met. And so to me, that was the best thing I could have ever done, is to go to work there and meet those people there. That was great.
I have a question. So when you said, you mentioned that that was one of the things that kind of helped open your perspective mm-hmm. and your mind. But before that, what was the thought or the, how did you reconcile that it should have been different? Or I'm assuming mm-hmm. there, did you think, like, say for instance, with, there's the border and there are the immigration issues that our country is, and that we seem to be very liberal people are on mm-hmm. one side and mm-hmm. the conservative are on the other. Mm-hmm. But then there are lots of other things too, same-sex marriage mm-hmm. and those and transgender rights and
right.
those things. And I always wonder, what would be the thought you said you're evolving, but what was your thought before? Like, why was it okay to not want to? What was your thought process when you were not evolved mm-hmm. what was your thought process then about people not being able to be equal or people not able to have the same rights as you I'm assuming hetero, you know, white
mm-hmm.
woman.
Mm-hmm. I don't know that I ever thought they shouldn't have those rights. To be quite frank, when I read about African-American people sitting at a lunch counter and demanding to be served, I thought, well, duh, of course. I always thought that kind of prejudice and that kind of racism was stupid. I didn't get it.
Uh-huh.
Now, my exposure to people of other ethnicities was limited,
mm-hmm.
and in fact, it was not till I was an adult that I realized my brother and I were the only Armenian children in my school, in grammar school.
Mm, okay.
Never occurred to me, because I didn't think about race as a little kid. Mm-hmm. You just don't. Did I ever have negative feelings? I probably had some feelings of fear about people who didn't look like me.
Mm-hmm.
And that may have come from my parents, who tended to be somewhat narrow-minded, I would say. But I don't feel that way. I never felt like they weren't as good, or they weren't as this, or they weren't as that. And I didn't bear them any ill will. I didn't have any preconceived ideas about this is good and this is bad. I just thought, well, that's different.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't think it was something to be punished.
Okay.
I didn't think it was something to be, what's the word I want, denigrated?
Mm-hmm.
It was just different. And I think over time, when you're exposed to things more and more, it just becomes more normal. And you go, yeah, it's fine. Same-sex marriage? Same-sex marriage does not threaten me. It doesn't make me feel like, oh my gosh, that's against this, that's against that.
Right.
I'm okay with it.
Okay.
I don't have a problem with it.
But you know, but the conservative or the Republican Party tends to have had a problem with that. So
yeah.
I guess my question would be, how do you align yourself, or what makes, like, yeah, like, how, knowing that that's how they are, how did you reconcile and aligning yourself with certain things in the Republican Party that you were against yourself?
I don't know that I thought about it that deeply, Deanna, to be quite frank. I really don't think I did.
Okay.
I really don't think I did. I only started to think about politics more so, I would say, in the past 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Really? I've been kind of late to the party, so to speak.
Okay.
And like I said, the reason I'm still in it was because I want to be able to vote in the primaries and vote against people like you-know-who, whom I cannot stand, and people who toady to him and are afraid of him. I mean, that's why. And we'll see how long this lasts.
Yeah.
I don't know how long it's lasts. Sometimes I look at the two parties and I think, a pox on both your houses.
Yeah.
You know, forget it. I'm an independent. But we'll see how long this lasts.
Okay.
Yeah. Deanna, do you ever feel troubled by the people with the same beliefs as you, or people on your side, so to speak, and how they communicate those beliefs to other people?
How they communicate those beliefs to other people. Well, yes. There are, say, let's use, I'm going to use the social uprisings that took place last year, and the social justice issues that we were that everyone was dealing with, George Floyd, and I didn't agree with any type of, although most of them were peaceful demonstrations. Whenever there was a demonstration where there was any type of building or anything that was destroyed in protest to the violence and the murders of that were taking place of African American men and people from the police officers or whatever was going on, I didn't agree with that type of messaging because I think it's counterproductive. However, I also understand that. Well, I think that there's a different way, and I know that other people don't have my thinking, and that they don't don't necessarily know have the same answers that I may have, or that I may, you know, they may not have the same experience to be able to get some of the answers that I have to choose a peaceful demonstration. Also, one of them, the Black Lives Matter, the Defund the Police messaging is wrong. To me, I think that that verbiage is wrong. I think that, and I think that it says something. The defund the police means something very different than what the actual messaging is and what it actually is doing. And I think they need to change that because it sounds like you're saying to defund the police, and that's not what exactly is happening. Mm-hmm. So yes, I disagree with some of the messaging.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Do you ever, Carol, do you ever feel misunderstood by people with different beliefs than you? And if so, how?
I don't necessarily feel misunderstood. I just figure they have different beliefs than me, and it's not... No, I don't feel misunderstood. That's my short answer. I just think people have different perspectives on life. You and I certainly do. But I can certainly respect your point of view. Absolutely, 100%. The longer I live, the more I think we're more alike than not, people. And I think I will go to my grave believing that.
Yes.
There's more that we have in common than not. There's more that unites us than not. That's why this political divide thing frustrates me so much. It really does. And I don't know how to help overcome it, other than be respectful of people and treat them as I would want to be treated, even as I'm vehemently disagreeing with them mentally or internally. What about you? What do you think? Do you feel misunderstood? Does it really frustrate you? Does it?
You know, what frustrates me is I think that there is on the other side, or people with opposing views sometimes do not want to acknowledge what is. And that's one of the most frustrating, that's just frustrating. If there is a rock sitting here and we're looking at a rock and I say, you see the rock, and then they say, but do you see the table around, and do you see it? And I was like, but what, we're talking about the rock. Well, did you see that so-and-so over here? It's like the acknowledgement of what is a problem, and that is very frustrating to me. When you know, you've mentioned a couple of times about the voting and the steal and those things, and the reality being right in the face, and people seeing it but choosing to not acknowledge it, and that there's no, how can there ever be any type of reconciliation, how can you move forward without acknowledging what is? Because it basically solves it, right? You know, it yeah. would solve it.
Yeah.
So I guess that's, so the misunderstanding of being misunderstood by people, maybe not so much as that, is I probably get more frustrated with people just choosing not to want to understand or choosing to do something that is opposite or that goes against everything that they see and that they know. I don't understand that part though myself. Like, I'm very confused about some of those things.
Do you think that fundamentally they feel threatened? I think they are.
Yes, I do. I do recognize that. Yes, I think that our society is changing drastically. Mm-hmm. The makeup of our society, the way that things look. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I do in my work is I do equity. And I work in a college. And so one of the charges that we have is to provide equitable outcomes to all of our students. And what I find is that there's a group of people who kind of look alike and sound alike and do the same, which are usually older white men who don't subscribe to it. And I think what I have found is that there's a fragility, some type of, they're afraid of losing what they've had all along. And so there's a fear that there's not enough good mm-hmm. in the universe to go around to everyone. And so they hold on to the structures and the things that have so that they've created and have supported them, instead of wanting to open and to allow everyone the same opportunity, the same things. You mm-hmm. know, there is a fear, there's a misunderstanding, and there is a fear. And whenever we operate in fear, it's always a bad decision, right? Because there's opposite. I think there's love and there's fear. And when I find myself operating out of fear, I usually make the worst decisions in my life.
Oh, very true. Did you read Bob Woodward's book, Fear?
No, I have not read that, no.
Fascinating.
Okay.
I first read yours and I thought, fascinating. I wonder how many trans people I've already met without even knowing it. Because, you know, who knows?
Right.
Fascinating.
And I think that's interesting that you say that, because when I find myself in conversations and we're talking about trans people, there's issues about the bathroom usage. There's all these different mm-hmm. things that are political. But I navigate through the universe and no one knows that I'm transgender.
No.
You know, no one knows that.
No,
know?
No,
and
no,
so,
no.
And so, there are many, it's not stealth, that's not what we're doing. It's
no.
But we're just living our lives.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, so it's interesting that you thought it was, you know, because it is. I think that my perspective, that it was a gift for me to be trans,
mm-hmm.
That it is a blessing for me to have experience, because I've lived over 25 years of my life male, mm-hmm. and now I had to have this experience of learning and operating and navigating the universe as a female,
mm-hmm.
and once I made that decision, the world opened up to me.
Right.
But I do have two perspectives.
And, sure you
and
do.
So, and
yeah.
so that's fascinating.
Yeah.
To me, all the time I'm blown away by that, being the person who has this gift.
Right, right. That's great.
And for yourself, what did you... So I need to answer that question, right? Okay, so when I read your bio, I thought, I wonder how, I wonder why she chooses to want to know or to go outside of her box or outside of her world to expand. Because I would think that being a woman with a family and having that, there's nothing that you probably fit the status quo in a lot of areas.
I do.
You know, and so,
sure.
and so, and how that's, there's probably safety in not knowing.
Yes,
too,
there is.
Right?
You're
Isn't
absolutely there? Right. Because change can threaten people.
Right.
Right. My answer to that is, why not? What an opportunity. Why not? You only live once. Mm-hmm. Why not meet someone new? Why not hear a different perspective? Why not affirm what I already believe, that we're more alike than different? That is so important. Why would I hold back? That's my short answer. Okay. Yeah. I haven't heard a lot that makes me go, she's wrong. I haven't heard anything.
Yeah, I haven't either. I haven't. Yeah. I haven't heard, and I thought that was going to happen. You know, I really did. I thought that because of StoryCorps and the One Small Step, the way that they set it up is that you will get someone who's completely opposite of you, and they're going to, and then I thought, so there's going to be some opposing views.
Right.
But it sounds like, or from what you have conveyed to me, is that you are open and that you are, and that you're not a staunch Republican who, you know, who the stop the steal, who, you know.
No. I knew it was going to be tough. I told Sonia, good luck finding somebody. Maybe if you find a proud boy who's an L.A. Dodger fan, then we can really get into a real heated discussion. But those folks don't listen to KVPR,
frankly. That's what I thought, too, right?
You know, and so that was why it took her so long to find somebody. I was just so glad you found somebody. I thought, I don't care if we disagree or not. Let's just do this. Right, this is going to be so much fun.
Yes.
Yeah, so, and she and I talked a little bit. I mean, I just had so much fun talking to you. I was just jazzed for the next couple of hours after I talked with you on the phone because it was so nice. You know, we were talking about our backgrounds and how my grandparents were immigrants and what they went through when they came here and all that and, you know, different families, different ethnicities mirroring each other and all that jazz. It was just fascinating. Just fascinating.
Well, we've got a few minutes left, so I'm going to give you some questions.
Wow, that's a big question. So, Carol, I want to ask you, what are your hopes for the future?
My future, the world future, my grandchildren's future,
the whole shebang? The whole shebang, probably.
Yeah. Okay. I hope we have the courage to stand down to big oil and go electric and save the planet. I hope we act sooner rather than later.
I'm going to interject if it's okay.
Sure.
You mentioned oil and, you know, go electric. And I had it in the back of my mind to talk to you about environmental things.
Okay.
I saw that
was
on your... Definitely. So is there really a disbelief that global warming is taking place?
I think with some people... Don't
you? Really don't believe it?
I think there are some people that are still hanging in there.
Is it for money? Because
it's always for money.
Oil.
Money is the answer to just about every question you ask. Honest to God, that's usually what it comes down to.
You're absolutely.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry
absolutely.
If I interjected
no, that's okay. That's okay.
I know we have a time thing. But.
The reason I still drive a car that takes gas is because there aren't enough electric stations and enough reliability for me to get to see my grandkids without going, hope I make it,
I
hope
know,
I make
right?
it.
That's scary.
But eventually, I mean, we're going to be doing that, mm-hmm. and I will welcome it, and I'm fine with that. I mean, it's such a, the world is such a miraculous place. I hate to see it trashed.
Right.
I hate to see it trashed. I don't buy water bottles anymore. I mean, I went solar. I have solar panels. Does your house have solar panels?
Yes.
Yay!
Yes.
Woohoo!
Yes.
That's great. I care about the environment. I became a master gardener. I'm concerned about pollinators. I mean, I
did. Wow, that's so fascinating.
It's fun. Yes. It's fun. And there's a branch in Madera. Now, do you live in Madera?
No, I work in Madera.
Okay.
At Madera Community College.
Okay.
And then I live at Herndon in 99, so okay. Not too far away. Yeah.
Okay. Well, if you ever want to become a Fresno County Master Gardener, look it up.
Okay,
if you like gardening, I mean,
I
you were talking about that.
Yes.
Oh, you might just be.
And I have a brand new home that has the whole backyard is just dirt. I get to, I'm so excited. I get to start
nice,
brand new and do whatever I want back there. So, yes, that's going to be my next project.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay, well, Deanna, is there anything you learned about me today that surprised you? Not that you really knew much about me. I was rather brief in my description.
Well, because, yeah, I was surprised at the openness, mm-hmm. and that you were so, the acknowledgement of having belonged to a certain political party, mm-hmm. and then and being kind of and staying in it in order to fight it. That's I think that that's covert. I think that that's kind of badass. I'm sorry, I love that. You know, because that's what has to happen. You know,
yeah.
I watch what is the Cheney, Liz Cheney, and
she's such a maverick,
yeah,
isn't she?
Exactly. And I see them and I watch them, and I think there's a I don't know how to pronounce his last name, but there's another Republican that's there, and they're fighting within their party, and all they're doing is just like, this is the truth, and we're not going to succumb,
right.
And you're kind of doing that same
well,
thing.
Well,
right?
When Mitt Romney voted to impeach Donald Trump, I
right.
went on his website, and I started typing, thanks for showing some guts.
Right.
You know?
Right?
Thank
yeah.
you.
Thanks for being the truth. Yeah.
Yeah.
For just acknowledging and saying that you're not going to succumb. You're not going to subscribe and be okay with all the horrible stuff.
I know it.
I remember when he first was going for election, and I was kind of like, okay, well, let's see how this turns out, you know, because I think this is going to be funny.
Were you thinking flim-flam
yet? Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely. I was
right.
like, there's no way.
You're
there's
right.
no way. And me and my whole family, we kind of sat there with our mouths open the next day. We're like, what just happened? But then I started to look and see how people were just okay with everything.
I know.
That's when I was like, something's wrong. Like something's broken. And what is, I couldn't get it. So,
do you remember when they were having debates, you know, for the nomination?
Uh-huh.
So this was in 2015. And the Republican nominees or the people who wanted to run were having a debate. And Donald Trump said, I say we ban all Muslims from entering the
yes,
country.
Yes, I remember that.
And I think it was Jeb Bush said, are you unhinged?
Right.
Mm-hmm. But no one said a word when he
no
did it.
No one said it, yeah.
And I'm thinking, this is not okay. This is as un-American as it gets.
Right,
what's
right.
going on with people? Anyway, I remember talking with you about that. That just blew my mind. Yeah.
So it always scares me. One of the scariest things, and because of the political divide that we have, is that, so all these other, so say for instance, remember when he had to grab them by that part, and when Trump was running, and all of those things, I remember thinking, so you're okay with that as a, you know, as a Republican, are you okay with that? Because they were voting for him. And then as he was elected and all these other little things that were happening, I was like, okay, so you're okay with it. Remember he made fun of the mentally ill person, you know, and no one said anything. And so I was like, so are they okay?
Well, what about the religious right adopting him? I mean, if that wasn't an unholy alliance, what is?
Yeah.
Because it was all about getting conservative judges. Not that he had any, I don't think he has any religious feelings.
At all.
No,
right?
No, it was all about, you do this for me, mm-hmm. I do this for you.
Right.
So it was politics at its very finest, I guess. Yeah.
All right, well, we've got 5 more minutes.
Uh-oh.
But I've got a question I want both of you to answer. You can ask it to each other.
Okay.
How would you like to be remembered?
Carol, how would you like to be remembered?
Well, I hope my kids love me. And my grandkids. That's about it. What about you?
I would like to be remembered as someone who loved unconditionally and someone who, whenever it was needed, was there, who was present, and who made a difference, even the smallest difference for anyone who needed. You know, I was there and I made a difference for them. I would like to be remembered that way. Also, right. Maybe a little fashionable too. you know, she always looked good. I like that. Why not? A little vanity in there.
Yeah, that's... I like your answer better.
Well, I love your answer too. It's very beautiful. And you know, I don't have children, but I do have nieces and nephews that mean the world to me.
Oh yeah.
And a lot of people think, I've heard that there's an assumption that as a trans person, oh, you poor, you probably want children. And no, I've never, even as a child, before I knew I was trans, I never, you know how when you're in school and you're in elementary and you're writing the picture about your family and your life and you do the picket fence and all that stuff? I didn't do that. I never saw myself with a dog or little kids. I saw myself with a husband living in a high rise. Mm-hmm. That's how I drew. That was the picture that I you know, we would be at the top of in a high rise. And I always saw that. So I've never had that parental desire for it. But there are trans people and gay people and LGBTQ people who do want children.
Oh,
and
sure.
Have them and have beautiful children.
Sure.
But I, so my legacy will be with my nieces and nephews and those people that I love.
Yeah.
And I think it's beautiful that, you know, you have grandchildren and your children and they love you. And I'm sure that that's what you will be remembered.
Yeah, they're pretty special to me. They're the most important thing, really. When I'm not thinking about other causes, it comes down to them, really.
Well, that's 50 minutes.
Wow,
wow,
really?
That went fast.
Quickly, huh?
Yes,
I thought it feels like it was 20 minutes.
Yeah,
really.
That's usually the feedback. Yeah. How was that?
It was great.
It was great. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
Absolutely great. I would love to ask you questions about gardening.
Okay. Write down Fresno County Master Gardeners.
Okay.
Because you can become one if you want. Now, the thing is, you know, you're working full-time, and I know it's hard.
Yeah,
a lot of us are retired because, I mean, I did it when I was